Amen. I'm thankful today. That's the way I got saved. And I'll tell you this. If you get saved, it will be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with us this morning, if you will. If you'll look with me in the book of Luke. I'm going to look in the book of Luke. And we're going to look in Luke chapter number 15. And I know that's pretty familiar territory, and the stories and all that are there are pretty familiar to us, and we know about the what we call the three parables in one, parables of some things that have some similarities, and particularly, I guess we'll particularly look in at the third part of this, where we're talking about the parable of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. But if you will, let's read just a little bit. In verse number one, it said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Jesus has been preaching, Jesus has been teaching, and now as he's done this, and I the only thing I can gather out of this from the previous chapter is that he's got everybody's attention. Okay? He's gotten their attention. He's drawing them in to him, and they're listening to him. Because let me just tell you, Jesus had something to say. Amen? Jesus had something to say. So as he's gathering the crowd together, it says that there are publicans. Publicans is a word that's used in the Bible for a disgusting group of people, according to the Jewish people, that were the tax collectors. We've talked about them before, and they were hated. And, you know, we talked about last week about how that they are, week before, whenever it was, we talked about how that they hated Matthew because he was a tax collector. And they hated all the tax collectors. They hated everybody because they had sold themselves out to the Roman government. They'd jumped in with them and they're siding with them. And the Jewish people hated them. And then it said not only did Jesus have publicans listening to him, he had sinners. Oh my, what a motley crew to come hear him. But I want you to know, gathered even in all of that, were the Pharisees and the scribes mainly, probably some Sadducees and other religious groups were probably gathered there together. But anyway, it says in verse number 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." It's a bad thing to even be around sinners, but it was the worst thing to eat with them. I mean, can you imagine that? Eating with a bunch of heathens. Amen? I mean, here he is. He's eating with them. Okay, well, y'all don't want to hear any of my stories because I got some things. Man, I've been on some eating places and you'd have said, "Ooh, I don't want to go there." Well, it's okay. You stay where you're at. Amen? I've eaten some rough spots with some rough people. But I can tell you what, hey, God can get in any of those places that he wants to. So Jesus is here with these people, and he's invited them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is talking to lost folks. Amen. I thought that's what we're supposed to do, but apparently the Pharisees were so separate and so holy and so dignified and so set apart that they didn't want to have anything to do with them sinners and those publicans. But Jesus did. Verse number 5 or 3, it says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then he said, after this, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, the shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the scripture. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray that you'd just bless this time. Help us to see you. Open our eyes. Give us a vision. Give us some direction. Speak to a lost heart here today that needs Christ Jesus to do something for them. And we'll just thank you and praise you for everything you're doing. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to notice these stories, if you will. In all these stories, there are some similarities. And in those similarities, it brings the story and the situation all together. Okay? And that's the intent of Jesus. Jesus is trying to present to this crowd and the entirety of the crowd, not just those that they said, oh, there's publicans and there's sinners. He's trying to talk to them. But he's also talking to that religious crowd that is there. Can I tell you, everybody needs to be talked to. Don't they? Amen. Everybody needs a little talking to today. But I want you to see some things in this story. And if you will, let's just notice a few things. And hopefully, maybe God will speak to your heart and my heart and all of our hearts here this morning. Help us to see the ideas that we need to gather and take home from this. First of all, I want you to realize all of these stories, as I say, they've all got something in common. First of all, they all deal with the idea of possessions. Of possessions. Things that are possessed, okay? Things that are owned by somebody. Do you see that first story? A man had 100 sheep, and one of them got gone. Second story, a woman has 10 coins, and one of them gets lost. The third story, a man has 2 sons. And I'm, you know, using the idea of possession. They belong in his family. They are his family. And one of them gets gone. So it's a story about possessions. I mean, you know, you talk about it. It's property in the first two, but it's a person in the third story. But what I want you to notice is look as you're thinking about the possession. Think about the one that possesses each one of them. In the first story, it's a loving shepherd. He said, which of you, if you were the right kind of shepherd, if you lost one of your sheep, you wouldn't go hunting him, right? So he's talking about a loving shepherd. In the second story, and he mentions, you know, the woman that's lost her coin, he talks about her being a seeking woman. I mean, there's a seeking wealth. She's lost a coin. She had 10, she's lost one, and she's hunting for that piece of silver. She's a seeking woman. And in the third story, you notice that it's a father that has two sons, but we're looking at him and we're calling him a sweet and a loving father. Amen? So I just want you to notice, first of all, it's a story about possessions, but it really turns the idea that Jesus is putting across is look at those. You know what he says to him? Which of you? Which one of you? Do you see that in the very first story as he presents it? What man of you having 100 sheep? He said, hey, put yourself in this position. I'm telling you today, put yourself in this position. Which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and you lost one, wouldn't you go hunt him? And you know, I guess, and I don't know, he didn't want to leave the ladies out. So he said, either what woman? If there's, and there was plenty of women there, I'm sure. Listen, I want to tell you something right there. That tore the Pharisees and the scribes up because he starts equating women in this thing. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they realize, well, women's got their place and women are lower than men and men are not, and men are up here and women are down there. I mean, that was the idea in that day. I want to tell you something. We've got some folks today that's got that same idea. Somebody say amen right there. But anyway, he brings the women into it. He said, either what woman? If you had 10 coins of silver and you lost one, that you wouldn't go hunting for it. And then he said, of course, if you're a father, and you have two sons that are dear and precious to you, and one of them decides to leave and go out into this world, he said, which one of you would not be looking for him to come back? Now, in the first two instances, there was some searching and looking. I want you to know something. I don't understand fully the thought of it, but on that third story, the father didn't go looking. But I'll guarantee you he is waiting on that boy every day that came by. Okay? So you see that it's a story about some possessions. But second of all, I want you to see that it's a story that has a purpose. The purpose is, hey, these people all showed a concern and a compassion when something was lost from them. They all showed a concern. They all showed a compassion. And I want to tell you, there's nobody in your Bible with any more compassion than Jesus himself.
Amen.
Amen. You can look it up any number of times you want to, but I'm telling you, the Lord has compassion on us. Aren't you glad that he had compassion on you? Aren't you glad that he looked at you and said, you're not much, you're not worth very much, you're a nobody, you're a nothing, I'm the God of everything, but I'm still going to love you and send my darling son to die for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it's a story. It's a story. And it's a story about the purpose. I mean, you think about the wandering sheep, that one wandering sheep. I don't tell you. 99 were left. Do you know that there's some people that they would say this? That's just one, forget him. I've got 99 left. I'll take care of the 99. That one, well, sorry, we lost him. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of people that'd be it, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be it? Sister Barbara, y'all got all them little goats over there. If one got out, I bet you go hunting. Yeah, when one gets loose, you go hunt. I've talked to other folks that's had that. Do you know there's people around here now, it's gotten real popular to have chickens. If one of them, they go out there and count. 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, you know, you think, why in the world? It's just chicken. Yeah, but it's their chicken. Amen. It's their sheep. It's their puppy dog. It's their whatever it is. You fill in the blank. And they go hunting because they're concerned about that one. Aren't you glad God got concerned about you? Amen? And then look at that other story. A woman had 10 coins. Now, there's been a lot of things said about that. Well, we don't know. But they said in those days, a lot of times when a woman would get married, that she would have as part of her dowry given to her by her family some silver coins. And generally what they would do is they would bind them together and make actually a little headdress. You've seen them. You've seen pictures of these women in the Orient, and they'd have a metal looking thing around their head, or a band with metal stuff hanging on. And sometimes it was coins. And she's lost one of them. Now you say, ah, that ain't no big deal. She's still got nine left. It was a big deal to her. It was a big deal to them in that day. They say that is called a drachma, is the way, even in the Greek rendering of it in the scripture. It's a drachma. And they said the value of it is about 17 cents. That ain't no big deal. If we find it, we find it. If we don't, we don't. No, it was a big deal. You see what it says? She lit a candle. And she searched. She swept the floor. She looked in the corners. She looked under everything. She looked everywhere she could because she wanted to find that one that was lost. Amen? And then, as I said, you've got that third story about the father that has, in essence, lost one of his sons. And I'm telling you, I pray there's nobody in this building today that's had that situation right there. I mean, you look at that situation. That boy comes in and he says, Daddy, I want what's mine. I about had it with this at the house. I don't like the way you run things. I don't like the way things are done. I don't like nothing about it. I give me what's mine. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to do what I think is best. Well, amen? Any of y'all got kids like that? Well, I think we've all had kids like that. Or we were kids like that. We know better than mama and dad. Yeah, you do. Until you get about close to maybe 35, 40 years old, and all of a sudden they get very intelligent. Isn't that right? Mom and daddy begin, hey, you know what? They're pretty smart. I better go ask them when I need some advice or some instruction or some help. I'm going to go back. They know a lot more than I gave them credit for. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. Hey, they get to be teenagers. And you know what? Believe it or not, I was a teenager at one time. Right? I was a teenager, and I'm telling you, I knew everything. Amen? I mean, just come ask me. And if I didn't know, I could make up something and tell you. Amen? Huh? Well, I mean, hey, we had it all figured out, right? I saw a little sign the other day that said, young folks, leave home when you're 18 or 19 and you still know everything, amen, because there's a great big world out there waiting just for you. Guess what? You'll get out there and find out, hey, I don't think I knew as much as I thought I did. I'm not as sharp. I'm not as swift. I'm not as good. I'm not as... I'm in trouble now. You see, that's exactly what happened to that young man. And that father, I guarantee you, as I said, the father didn't go looking for him. But I want to tell you something. You'll see here in the story, he was looking for him every day. He was looking for him every day. That brings me to a third point where we'll spend most of our time. I want you to think about it. It's a story about possessions. And it is a story about all this other that's going on. But I want to tell you, more than anything, it's a story about paternity. I want you to see the father. As I say, especially in that third story. Now, I'll guarantee you this. He had a mother, but she's never mentioned. The mother is never mentioned. And I believe Jesus had purpose in that. There was a purpose in that. He's trying to show the connection between the heavenly father and this earthly father. And he's trying to show how this father cares and loves and how that you and I need to connect with him. So it's a story, we'll say, about paternity or about the father and his paternal nature. He is a father. He is called the father. And listen, you can read the story. We've all read it. We all know it. And we've got it all figured out. Boy gets his stuff, gets out there, wasted in the world. I mean, drinking and partying, as I say, knowing better than daddy. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, he begins to look and you know, hey, the bank account's running low. Forget that. Let's just keep on partying. We'll just keep on spending. And then all of a sudden, what does the Bible tell us? Look there in verse number 14. And when he had spent all, he's down to where he had nothing there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. God has a good way of bringing us down to where we need to be. And this little boy got it, didn't he? He went and found him somebody. And they said, yeah, we can give you a job. We can feed you a little bit. But your job's going to be to go feed the hogs. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Have you ever been around? My grandpa, when we was growing up, he had a few little hogs. He didn't have a whole lot. He had a few. And they stunk, didn't they, Donnie? We'd go down there to the hog lot. And I'd ask Mama sometimes, I'd say, what's Grandpa putting out there? She said, that's slop. I said, it sure is. And it stinks. And you know what? Them hogs is loving it. They get in there and knock each other out of the way to eat it. Amen? Right? I mean, that's what they're doing. And that's just what hogs do. And here's this boy. I mean, he had it all, son. He's out there at the casinos gambling. He was out there at the bars drinking. He was on the dance floor partying. But now he's in the hog pen in the slop. Amen? Can I tell you, you can get there. Some of you might have been there. Some of you might be headed there. I don't know. But son, can I tell you, it ain't a fun place to be. He's out here in this, and it says he gets to the point where he said, I would just about like to fill my belly up. He was hungry. He was starving. He was doing without. The Bible said there he began to be in want. As he's in that situation, he would have liked to have anything to put in his belly. I'm hungry. I'm up against it. I don't have any money. This is all I can do. This is where I am. Can I tell you, that's where sin will get you, folks. That's where sin will take you. And here he is, but isn't it amazing? In verse number 17 is one of the great, great verses in your Bible. And when he came to himself. He came to himself. You know, we talk about that little cartoon thing where that light bulb goes on over the cartoon character's head. Hey, he was there. Boom! What am I doing here? Down there, listen to what he says. Listen to how he says this. He says, how many, verse 17, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough? They've got bread and then they got some more bread. They got bread enough and to spare. They're eating bread and they got bread sitting beside them and they got leftover bread. And I'm sitting here starving to death. I perish with hunger. Isn't that what he says? Then he said, I'll tell you what, let's make a plan. I will arise and go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Son, he's gone from give me what's mine to will you make me a workman for you? Kind of got knocked down a few rungs on the ladder, didn't he? Kind of got the props whooped out from under him. And now he's in the position where he's ready to beg his father to make him like one of his hired workers. Just make me like one of them. If you'll just give me a job with them, I'll be happy. I'll be happy. Boy, I'm telling you, you can see how this boy is going through all of this stuff. But can I tell you, when you look at this, think about this. His thoughts turn to one thing, to his daddy. You don't see that he said, boy, back home. No, look what he said. How many servants, in verse number 17, how many hired servants of my father? And then he said, I will arise and go home. No, I'm going to my father. And look what he says. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That idea in that little phrase there where he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, has the idea in it that he realizes he did this thing and God's seen it. And he did it, he said, before thee, out in the very public view where everybody that's associated with the Father and the family and the friends, everybody saw it. Everybody knew what he did. It wasn't a hidden thing. He said, I'm going to have to go confess. Can I tell you, best thing some of us can do is come and confess and say, God, I'm nothing. And what I've done wrong, I've done it before you more than anything against heaven. But I've done it out here where a lot of other folks have seen it and maybe it's affected them in some way. And that's what he's done. He said, let me tell you what I've done. I've made a mess and here I am. Daddy, I want to come back home to your place. I want to come back home to your plenty. And I want to come back home and perhaps you'll give me a pardon. That's what's going through his heart, Daddy. Daddy, you ever been there? You ever been there? I haven't been maybe this far, but I remember one night when I was a teenager, I went out and about with some of my buddies, and I told y'all Wednesday night, I was driving that hot rod 63 Fairlane Ford. Room, room, room. Wee, wee, wee. That's what he was doing. Right? Well, I don't know what I'd done. Well, probably somewhere I ought not have been. But somebody in front of me stopped, and I was too busy looking around and waving at the girls and the guys and all them buddies and whatever. And I hit him. Hit him. Put a wrinkle and a dinkle in my 63 Fairlane Ford. Drove home that night. Mother and Daddy were in bed. They usually were when I got home. It was a little bit after 11. I got home, and you know how you're doing on the way home like that. I'm sweating. I'm thinking. I'm like, what? You know, I don't know what to do. So I walked in the door, and I go into the bedroom. And, I mean, it wasn't Mama. Daddy, I need to tell you something. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, I've had a little wreck with the car. And, you know, I'm kind of, buckle your seatbelt. You're about to get eat up and chewed out and spit on and everything else. But can I tell you, at about 11:30, whatever it was, at night on that Saturday night, Daddy come in there and he looked at me and he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. Did anybody else get hurt? No. We'll look at it in the morning. If you're okay and everybody else is okay, let's just go to bed and we'll look at it tomorrow. And I thought, whew. Whew, right? Can I tell you, we expect the daddy sometimes to fly off the handle, right? I'm sitting at my house on a Saturday morning. This has been 35 years later on a Saturday morning. I'm thinking Bruce and Melanie's over there. I don't know. You got something to do with the story. I don't know what it is. But Casey Camp calls me, and he said, Dad. I said, Casey, you on your way back? He had been to Minnesota by himself, 19 years old. That was, you know, that was me and Judy's fault right there to begin with. But anyway, that's another story. But he said, I've had a little accident. And I'm like, And you know what this daddy said? Are you okay? Did anybody get hurt? No, we're all okay. But your little old Mazda ain't doing too good. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I can't drive it. It's undrivable. I said, oh, my. He said, yeah. He said, I don't know. He said, just the grace of God. And, man, that thing's all tore up. And I said, okay, you're okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I said, we're going to send you a ticket for a Greyhound bus and get you back here to Ringo, that time's where we live. I said, we're going to get you back there. And, you know, that's all we're worried about, right, Larry? You the same way, you'd ask them. You probably had a few of them with Tiff and Brad. They might have wrinkled up a few fenders or whatever. But, you just want to know if they're okay. Can I tell you, I believe that's what this daddy was doing. His daddy, I believe every day, He's looking out that driveway. He's looking down that long road that led away from home. I believe he was out there looking every day. Do you see what it said? This boy said, here's what I'm going to do. And then I'm glad that he'd done it, aren't you? I mean, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called son. Make me as a hired servant. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But I want you to kick it in gear right here with the daddy. Right? Look at this. But when he was yet a great way off, who saw him? His father. I don't know. I believe the daddy looked out through there. And the servants might have been like they was when they looking off into the distance. And they said, well, that's somebody. But we don't know who do you think that is coming down the road. That daddy said, I know who it is. That's my boy. Amen. That's my son. Do you notice what these words are? When he saw yet. He saw him yet a great way off. I mean, they said when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he knew that was him. I mean, he could name that tune in one note, folks. He saw him. He said, that's my son. Can I tell you, God's looking for you this morning, wherever you are. And when he sees you, he said, that one's one of mine. Hey, can I tell you? The shepherd went till he found that little sheep. The woman searched till she found that coin. But this father, see, and he knows that's my boy. But do you see what he did? Listen, this is all pretty unusual. And it said, when he saw him, he was yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion. He had compassion on him. Let me just read you. I've got this written down here somewhere. The word compassion means this. It is a sympathetic consciousness of another's distress with a desire to alleviate that distress. When he saw him and he knew he was a mess, he knew he was dirty. He knew he was whipped. He knew he'd lost weight. He knew he'd been just treated ill by the world. Hey, he still had a heart of compassion for his boy. Amen. Woo, when God saw you and this world had slobbered all over you, when this world had put you in the mud hole, when this world had given you to the hogs and in the hog pit, hey, he still had compassion on you where you were. He had compassion. His heart went out to you. He saw him and had compassion. And then what did he do? He began to run. Can I tell you, that's one of the most unusual things for people in the Middle East, especially any man of any age. And this man was probably 50s plus, I mean, we don't know, but he was probably that old. He was an older father, because this boy is probably in his 20s plus, but he's in his 50s, and he ran. Now, I want to tell you, that's not a delicate or an easy thing. In those days, remember, they wore those long flowing robes. You know what he had to do? He had to reach down, pick up that thing. He had to stick it down his belt and get it all tucked away where his legs were exposed. And that was not a decent sight of an older man to be seen in public. You know what this daddy said? Forget all that stuff. That's my boy. And he took off running for him. Amen? I mean, hey, somebody said, and I'm with them, if you see me running, you better run because something's on fire. Amen? Something bad's happening. If you see me running, I'm walking most of the time. All right? But I'm just telling you, hey, that was an uncommon sight. Here he is running because that's his son. That's his boy. That's his darling. That's the one that he loves with all of his heart. That's his boy. And he's going to see him. He ran, and then what did he do? It says that he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Come here, Alan. I ain't kissing him. Don't y'all worry about that. Go eat. I mean, I want y'all to say, turn around sideways. This is what this father did. He ran and he fell on him.
And to do that, he embraced him. He had to do that to embrace him, to hold him.
This is what that daddy did.
Amen.
You know why he did that? Because the law said that if you had a wayward son like that, what could you do? Stone him. You could have him killed. And just to make sure none of the neighbors got a bad idea, he wrapped himself around him and said, uh-uh.
Amen.
That ain't, he deserves it, but I'm covering for him.
Great.
What about that? Woo! Amen. I mean, he fell on him, and then he kissed him. He kissed him. That's right. I can remember, and this has been a few years ago, and maybe not so much now today, but used to, whenever my youngest son, Scott, would come in, like he'd come to me, and he'd kiss me on the cheek. You know what? That's okay. That's my son, and I'm his daddy. Amen? Can I tell you that's okay? And I'm telling you, that was really a custom. That was to let everybody know, this is my boy. And he covered him up, and he held him tight, and he said, this is my boy. And he kissed him and said, I want y'all to know I love him. Amen? Now, going back to the story I was telling about me and the little car wreck, what we expect is, what have you been doing? What happened? How'd that? You're irresponsible. You don't look what you've done. That daddy didn't do that, did he? He could have. Rightfully so. With every bit of ability to have it done to that boy against the law. As I said, he could have had him killed and stoned. But he didn't. He said, this is my boy. And I love him. He ran, and then you know what that boy did? He did what he said he's going to do. Father, no more worthy to be called son. If you just make me like William Hirschfeld, I'll be glad to come home. And that daddy, you know what? That daddy didn't even hear that, did he? He didn't even, hey, that ain't what I want to hear. He looked at one of his servants and said, go up there to the house and get a brand new robe. He's clothed in this stuff that's been in the hog pen. It's filthy, dirty, nasty, torn, and ragged. Go get a brand new robe and bring it. And you go up there and get a ring so I can put it on his finger to let him know he's part of the family. And you go get a pair of shoes because he's not running around here barefooted. He's not a slave. He's not a servant. He's my son. Amen. Ooh, can I tell you, man, that's a story, as I said, of paternity. Here's this daddy, and man, his little boy has come home. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, grace has run to the rescue. Amen. Grace has come in where there's nothing else. Listen, the father didn't go to him and stand there with a cold manner, but he wanted to hold him. He didn't go to bug him. But he didn't. He went to hug him. Amen. He didn't go to diss him. He went to kiss him. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, that's exactly what this boy received. Can I tell you, September 17, 1972, that's what this boy right here got. Can I tell you, I was over at Union Avenue Baptist Church, and listen, the Holy Ghost got on me, and he told me I was lost and headed for hell and I need to get right. And you know what I did that night? I got saved. Amen. And you know what? There was people there that hugged me and shouted and had a good time and all that. That's fine. But don't you know, hey, my Heavenly Father reached down and he didn't scold me for how wrong I'd been and where I'd been and what I'd done. But he just wrapped him arms around and said, this is my boy. I love him. Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, some of you need to experience that, and some of you have experienced that. Isn't it a wonderful story to know about the love of your Heavenly Father? And then Jesus goes on in this story, and you can read it, but he talks about the other brother, the elder brother. And really, that part of the story is thrown towards those Pharisees and scribes and other religious people, whoever's there. He's throwing that at them because you know what they say? You ain't never done nothing for me, and I've always been. Yeah, okay, shut up. Amen? I mean, really. But he said, look, this is your brother. And he was gone. I thought he was even dead. But now I see that he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And you see what it says? Well, as Brother Dana Williams said, they had a party. Woo! They had a party!
Amen.
Can I tell you? He said, do you see what Jesus said at the end of every one of those stories? At the end of the first story, the guy's got his sheep, got it on his shoulder, brings it back, gets his friends and family together and said, rejoice with me, for I found the sheep that was lost. And what'd they do? Woo! They began to be having a party. I mean, they rejoiced. The woman that found her coin, she called all her friends and go, woo, we've had a party. We found a lost coin. I mean, they didn't have nothing to do with it, but they got in on shouting. Can I tell you, nobody had anything to do but the father in this whole story. That boy was thinking about that daddy. That boy knew that about that daddy. That boy understood about that daddy. That boy figured that he knew his humility would may perhaps get him a place as far as a servant of that daddy. But thank God, he got in on a party. Amen. The daddy said, go kill the fatted calf. Well, who had been? I don't know. I believe that daddy kept saying, boys, keep feeding that calf. Keep feeding. What are we using him for here one day, sir? We're going to have a party.
Amen.
I'm waiting on somebody, and we're going to have a party. Can I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that gets saved.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? Me and you as the saints of God ought to help them. We ought to shout. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. There ought to be rejoicing in the presence of the church.
Amen.
There ought to be some shouting and glorying and happiness and woo, hallelujah, in the presence of the saints of God.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that you've got a father just like this one? A heavenly father. And he knows exactly where you are this morning. And there may be some of you in here this morning, you're kind of wayward. There's some of you that are just plain old lost. There's some of you that you've just kind of thought about heading out yonder or somewhere and what's the use and what are we doing here and it ain't no good and it ain't working and all that junk. Hey, why not just come home to where the Lord Jesus is? Why not just step out, walk this aisle, and come home to Him? Amen? He's looking. He's searching. Throughout the entirety of these three stories, the search is on. And as I said, you say, well, I don't really see it that third. I believe that daddy went out and he looked every evening. And he said, boy, in his heart, sure can't wait for my boy to come home. And when he did, he just loved him. Just like he was. In all of his sin and all of his raggedness. Brother Ronnie, come on, we're going to get ready. In all of his ugly and all of his torn garments and all of his filth that he had been in and all. I mean, can you imagine that? But you know what he did? He run down there. Well, I wouldn't touch him, preacher. No, but the daddy did. I wouldn't have him. I'd make him stand there. No, the daddy didn't. I mean, he wanted to apologize. He was ready in his heart. The boy was. But the daddy said, I'm ready to take you back. I'll have you right now. You ain't got to get, you know what we think? Oh, well, wait till I get better. You ain't got to get better. Come on, just like you are this morning. Let's stand, if you would. Hey, God's looking for you. Maybe